Morning, everybody. Thank God for gospel passages like we have for our reflection today. It's so consoling in many ways to know that Jesus was tempted. It connects us to his humanity in such a real way. And we know from our own lives that temptations are real. Temptations are inevitable. Temptations are an everyday affair. And yet, we do not spend too much time reflecting on them. Because our focus is on avoiding temptations than succumbing to them. So I think our intention is good. But the gospel reading is so different than what we try to do in our daily lives. The gospels tell us all about the temptations of Jesus. They reflect on them. They not only tell us what Jesus' temptations were, but they also tell us what Christ did when he was tempted and how Jesus overcame the temptations. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, we are told that the temptations of Christ were not a chance happening. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. In other words, Jesus went into the desert to face his temptations. So during this Lent, I'm suggesting that like Christ, we face our temptations. I believe we can learn many things about ourselves, our faith, if we reflect on our temptations. They can also help us to grow in holiness and our relationship with God and with one another. So today, reflecting on the temptations of Jesus, let us draw some practical implications for ourselves. So here's my first point for us today. See, the devil crafted Jesus' first temptation very carefully. He said, if you are the Son of God, it was meant to lead Christ to ask himself, who am I? Am I the Son of God? And according to the devil, for Jesus to confirm his identity, to know who he was, all he had to do was command the stone to become bread. One more time, in the third temptation, the devil toyed with Jesus' identity. He invited Jesus to throw himself down from the parapet of the temple to prove that he was the Son of God. Now, the devil was very clear in his temptation. In fact, the temptation was really not about changing stone into bread. Rather, the temptation was about self-doubt. The devil was proposing that by giving into the temptation to turn stone into bread and throwing himself from down the parapet, Jesus should confirm his identity. But actually, the opposite was true. It would be by refusing to succumb to the temptation and to the temptation to self-doubt that Jesus would confirm his identity. So the devil was very, very clever. He's wanting Jesus to do the opposite of what would confirm his identity. What did Jesus do? Jesus faced the temptation, and Jesus faced himself. He understood the temptation, and he understood himself. He refused to let himself be tempted by self-doubt. He overcame the temptation and confirmed his identity. Folks, I'm saying this morning that facing our temptations and reflecting looking upon them can reveal much about ourselves and help us to grow. So for example, what are the temptations we face? What do our temptations say about us? Do we see patterns? What are our temptations really about? Like for Jesus, it was not about the bread and the stone, it was about self-doubt. What are our temptations really about? What does Jesus teach us through his temptations? How do we face our temptations? These are good questions we can ask this Lent as we journey through life into eternity. Now, my second point, I want to talk about turning moments of temptations into moments of faith. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' 40 days are not called fasting. Luke merely says that Jesus was without food. He merely says he ate nothing during those days. But the more important detail is, and when they were over, he was hungry. So 40 days, what happens? We don't know too much. We know about what happened after 40 days. Jesus gets hungry. Now, the devil waited a full 40 days and tempted Jesus when he was weak from hunger, from thirst, fatigue, and perhaps mentally delirious from the lack of nourishment. And Luke also tells us that the devil departed from him for a time. The time to be tempted again would be in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then again on the cross. There is a pattern here, folks. There is a pattern here. The pattern is the devil tempted Jesus in his most vulnerable moments. Somehow, in these vulnerable moments, Jesus was able to transform his moments of temptation into moments of faith. Now, I'm not going to suggest that the pattern we see with Christ's temptations is the same for everybody. But the important thing is to know the patterns of temptations in our lives, whatever they may be. For example, I'm inclined to get angry when I'm hungry. I'm inclined to be frustrated when I'm tired. It's a pattern. More importantly, I think the key is to turn these moments of temptations into moments of faith. Now, I'm not suggesting this as some psychological gimmick. I'm not writing a self-help book on how to transform moments of temptation into moments of faith. But as a spiritual exercise. So today's first reading has an answer to the question that I pose: how can we transform our moments of temptations into moments of faith? It is interesting, isn't it, that on the very first Sunday of Lent, the very first reading has something to do about first fruits. Why is it that this institution of the first fruits is proposed as the first reading on the very first Sunday of Lent? The first fruits are the first and the best of each year's harvest. When the people of Israel settled in the promised land after their escape from Egypt, they were required to offer the first fruits of all the farm produce. The vegetables, the agricultural produce, and the firstborn of their sheep, their lamb, their goat, even the firstborn of human beings is presented to the temple. Now, this was not because God is needy. God doesn't need our first fruits. This is not because God is selfish and wants the best for God. No. Rather, it helped Israel overcome temptations. The temptation to pride, the temptation to create another golden calf, the temptation to worship nature, the temptation to idolize oneself and one's labor, the temptation to self-glorification, the temptation to materialism and consumerism. And if you think about it, these are the very temptations that Christ faced in the desert as he faced those three temptations. So this is a very meaningful and intentionally chosen reading that we have as our first reading, the first fruits. Folks, we do not have that practice of offering first fruits in Christianity or in Catholicism, but the concept is very important for us. See, positively, offering the first fruits helped Israel bring God to the center of their existence. You see, they worked hard towards this harvest. And the very first fruit, gosh, you're inclined to keep it for yourself because this is the work of your hands. But what does it do? It reminds them that this first fruit, even though it's my labor, it comes from God. So first fruits brought Israel's existence and centered it around God. It helped Israel to remember that they owed their origin, their blessings, and their destiny to God. Their lives, their existence, their work, their leisure, their society, and their nation revolved around God. So, here's the answer, here's a spiritual exercise that I'm going to propose as a practical implication. If we want to turn our moments of temptations into moments of faith, it is not enough to face our temptation or to reflect upon them. The important thing is to ensure that God is right at the center of our existence, of every breath we take. And this is not just some gimmick that we do during Lent. This is a spiritual journey. This is a lifetime exercise. During Lent, we pay a little more attention to it, but we have to, like God invites us, center our lives around God. Jesus overcame the devil's every temptation with words from Hebrew scripture. Even though he was the Son of God, he kept his Father in a profound and radical way at the center of his life. In the desert, at Gethsemane, and on the cross, Jesus put the first fruits, his work, his preaching, his miracles, his disciples, his mother, indeed his last breath, into God's holy hands. But he did that in his moment of vulnerability, because that's what he did his entire life. So as we begin Lent 2022, I'm proposing that we face our temptations, that we reflect upon them like Jesus did. And I believe that as we receive him in Holy Communion in this Eucharist, we can intentionally, consciously, face our temptation, bring Christ radically to the center of our existence, and continue our journey toward eternity. People of God said,